That last song was written by Josh. It's a pretty cool song, huh? Our text for this morning is found in Acts chapter 3. We will read together the first 10 verses. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is the word of the Lord. Father, as we turn our attention to this passage of Scripture, we ask that you would bring your lesson to each of us as individuals and as your church. May we understand your word for us today. Amen. When I read the book of Acts, I often wish that I could be like Peter and John. One time in the book of Acts, their shadow falls on a guy and the guy's healed. Here, they see a beggar and tell him to get up and walk. It's kind of like what some of you do when you see a beggar and you say, "Get up and go to work." Only theirs was a lot cooler. Because here's a guy who every day was carried to the temple and sat by the gate called Beautiful saying, "Alms, alms for the poor." Unable to walk, he depended on the generosity of the people who walked by. And one day it was Peter and John. And he got their attention and they got his. And a miracle happened. As I'm reading this text, I was asking God what the message for us would be today. And this is what he laid on my heart. Peter and John were just doing what they normally do. They were going to the temple to pray. It was the hour of prayer, 3 o'clock. I don't know when you pray, but 3 o'clock is as good a time as any. But everybody was gathering to pray, and Peter and John, as was their habit, went to the temple. Now that's the key thing, and that's what they normally did. They went to the temple to pray. And so they walk to the temple, and then there's this man, and the story unfolds. And it strikes me that in our everyday life, God creates for us circles of influence. Peter and John had probably seen this guy sitting by the gate called Beautiful many times. They had walked by him many times, and perhaps they had even given him some money to help out with whatever his needs were. And in your life, you have a circle of influence in your everyday life. The things you do every day create for you these circles of influence. Some of you saw a map at the back when we walked in. Some of you didn't look to the wall. But you will now because I'm drawing your attention to it. You don't have to turn all the way around, but there's a big map in the back of the church. And on the map are a bunch of smiley faces. Because the people in the first service, not all of them, mind you, and I have put down the names of the people who didn't do this. Basically what we did, we wanted to visualize the circles of influence that we have as a congregation. Because in your everyday life, you do have circles of influence. Now, like me, many of you have very limited unchristian or non-churched friends. I mean, after all, everybody I work with and almost everybody that I minister on a daily basis is a church attender. But what I discovered is that I have huge circles of influence in different areas in my life. People that I come in contact with on a regular basis. People who figure out that I'm a pastor. People who initially think that I just sell fire insurance until they find out it's eternal fire insurance. And people who recognize me. People who I see on a weekly basis. People, for instance, at Puffer Belly, where I go to have a breakfast appointment every Tuesday morning, I go to Puffer Belly. And, you know, there's amazing things happen when you get to know people and you start talking to them and interacting with them. And all of us have circles of influence. God has brought into our life, in your regular activities, God has brought into your life people that you can influence. Everybody has a circle of influence. It may be a circle of influence around where you live. It may be someplace where your neighborhood, where you walk. It may be where you go to eat lunch on a regular basis. It may be a group that you golf with or play pinochle with or knit with. But everybody has natural circles of influence. And one of the first things we need to recognize is that we have circles of influence. That each of us are not isolated as though we have no friends that are not Christian. As a matter of fact, there's a list of 100 people, all of them the first names of people who are friends and family of people in this congregation who are without Jesus Christ. It's that list that we keep suggesting you pray over. It looks an awful lot like the one in my Bible here, which I can't seem to get out. Like this. And you know, you can develop a list of people that don't know Jesus Christ through your circles of influence. So everyday life creates for us circles of influence. That, by the way, is the first point if you happen to be taking notes. Everyday life creates circles of influence. Now here's the cool thing. Circles of influence create opportunities to share Christ. Circles of influence create opportunities to share Christ. Peter and John actually had a choice to make that day. When the man said, you know, he asked for alms, give to the poor, they could have done what many of us do. You know, when we see the person on the side of the road, you're at the corner of 5th and Pitkin, and there's a person on your right-hand side with a piece of cardboard that says, let's be honest, I just want beer. You just look the other way, right? I mean, at the corner of 5th and Pitkin, what's the best direction to look at? Look to your left. Now, that's assuming you're coming this way. Because you want to look away from them. You don't want to make eye contact, right? You don't want to look them in the eye because then they're going to give you those puppy dog tears and, you know, I just need something. You're going to feel guilt. And, you know, guilt is always a good motivator for giving. I think I'm not very good at inducing guilt. Peter had a choice. In his circle of influence, there was a guy who needed help. And Peter could have looked the other way. He could have reached into his pocket, pulled out a nickel, a shekel, whatever. Dropped it in his cup. He could have just gone by and tapped the cup and make him think he gave something. But instead, he observed that it was in his circle of opportunity, God created an opportunity for him to share Jesus Christ. And that's what you have. We're encouraging you in Living Hope 101 to share Christ with one individual and invite them to church. See, you have circles of influence that create opportunities for you to share Jesus Christ. Now, if we took a little pop quiz, we did this in the first service, and I think that some people were a little shy. They were thinking I was actually going to ask them to do it. I'm not going to actually have you stand and do this, but how many of you right now, if somebody said, how do I become a Christian, could go through, let's say, the Roman road? That's about the same percentage as the first service, which, by the way, wasn't very many. How many of you could share the four spiritual laws? Yeah, less of you. You see, here's the problem. Most of us, within our circles of influence, have been given these opportunities to share Jesus Christ, but we're afraid. We don't know how. What if you go through the four spiritual laws and you can't remember one of them? Which one are you going to forget? What if you go through the Roman road and you can't remember where Romans 3:23 is? Or Romans 6:23, or Romans 5. You know, what happens if you're sharing Jesus and you fumble the ball? See, that fear is a lot of the reason why a lot of us don't share Jesus Christ. We're afraid we won't do it right. We're afraid that somehow if we share Christ, we're not going to get the message through that we're going to forget some crucial element. So here's my suggestion to you. Within your circles of influence, take the opportunities you have to share Jesus Christ and begin by doing something very simple. Simply share your story. You know, how many of you know how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Okay, those of you that didn't raise your hand, why didn't you? You don't know how you came to be a believer? And if you don't know how you came to be a believer because you're not a believer, here, I'm going to talk to you about my story. See, when I was in high school, things weren't real cool in my house. I was a bad boy. I wasn't kind, I was mean. And someone came alongside of me and said, you know, you're not very happy. I know a place where you're promised love forever, full acceptance and forgiveness of all the sins, all the things you've done wrong. Would you like to get to know Jesus Christ? And I said, well, I don't really care about Jesus Christ. And he said, well, he cares about you. And he wants you to have a better life. And so I want to share with you how you can become a Christian. And the person shared with me something along the lines of the Roman road. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That includes you, Steve. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. That means that because you're a sinner, you deserve hell. But God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If today you didn't raise your hand and said, I know how I became a believer, take the opportunity right now. And then you'll know. It was January 25th, 2014. Some pastor was talking about circles of influence and he told me how to become a believer in Jesus Christ. The scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. There is no other name given among men by which you may save except the name of Jesus Christ. And all who believe in Him receive eternal life. Or you could simply go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, so God so loved you that He gave His only Son, that everyone who believes in Him, everyone being you, if you believe in Him, will not perish but have eternal life. And God did not come and send Him into the world in order to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's John 3:17, by the way. And if you're sharing Jesus Christ, you ought to include that part of it. See, a lot of us, when we go into our circles of influence, I was actually at a restaurant this week and there was a guy who was busting the tables and I noticed he had this tattoo and I asked him about that tattoo and I didn't notice, the person who was with me noticed the tattoo on his other arm, but you know, we talked a little bit about that tattoo. That's called building relationships. And I didn't get to talk to him very much. On his other arm he had a tattoo, it said love. And the pistol the L was a pistol, the O was a hand grenade, and I forget what it was like the antithesis of love, you know, love and destruction or something. But you know what? It's when we actually engage the people who are in our circles of influence that we are able to share Jesus Christ. And so one of the places I go on a regular basis, I go to Puffer Belly. How many of you ever go to Puffer Belly? It's a pretty nice restaurant, right? It's a decent place to eat. You know what? When you go there, why don't you talk a little bit to the people who are taking care of you? So one time I were there and we take our order and a guy's name is Steve. And I said to Steve, you know, how can I pray for you today, Steve? You know, it's amazing. People are so starving for love of God that here's this guy in the midst of a busy morning time. He pushes me aside so he can sit on the bench next to me to share with me his needs so I can pray with him. See, we all have circles of influence and opportunities to share Jesus Christ. The problem is a lot of us are afraid to do it. I suggest to you that Jesus doesn't want you to be afraid. You've got a story worth telling. You can simply say, you know, I hit rock bottom. I was in bad shape. I was fill in the blank with whatever your life story is and say, you know, then I found hope in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, there's a place that you can find hope. It is through Christ. And I want to share more about Jesus Christ with you and you're going to run out of time. So that's why I suggest that you do just what Peter and John did. They went to this guy and they said, you know, I don't have money. I don't have silver. I don't have gold. But what I have, I give to you. Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. And they grabbed his hand and they took him up and he started walking. And he took him to church. Share Christ with somebody and bring him to church. Because you know what? Once you share Christ with somebody, it's meaningless if you don't get them in the fellowship of believers. If you share Christ with somebody and never get connected with other believers, they're going to die on the vine. They are not going to become strong in Christ. They're going to forget that one person came and said something about Jesus. Unless you want to go meet with them every week and make sure that you follow up on them. Not a bad idea, by the way. But share Christ with someone and invite them to church. It's part of Living Hope 101. And something happens. By the way, that was your second point. First point, for those of you taking notes, everyday life creates circles of influence. Circles of influence create opportunities to share Christ. Opportunities to share Christ can create excitement. Because something happens when you start bringing people to church. You start looking and you say, wow, those miracles happened in that person's life, and a miracle happened in that person's life. I think it's kind of amazing when you read Acts chapter 3. This guy had, for years, has been parked out in front of the gate called Beautiful. And now Peter reaches out, grabs his hand, and says, get up and walk. And he gets up and walks. I don't know, I have a crazy imagination. Yeah, I do have a crazy imagination. But I'm thinking that when he got up and walked, as he came into the temple, he probably didn't walk like this. You know the shuffle. Oh, I gotta go to church today. Sure hope Pastor Steve can tell a different joke. Maybe we'll get lucky and he won't tell any jokes. I wonder if we'll sing a hymn today. You know, this is what my imagination says. He's coming in the back. He has never walked. His whole life, he has been carried. And some guy grabs his hand, pulls him up, and I'm thinking, he walked in the back of the temple like this. Woo-hoo! Yes! I can walk! And you know what? There was some stuffy robe at the back thinking, wait a minute. Wasn't that the guy I gave something to this morning? He scammed me! Everywhere in the temple, there's excitement. Because the man that couldn't walk now can walk. Because the man who didn't know Jesus now knows Jesus. And everybody breathes a sigh and say, ain't God good? You see, you can be a part of that. We can be a part of that. There's a map on the back. There's stickers. There's smiley face stickers. They're meant to represent our circles of influence. Because in your everyday life, there are people who are hurting, people who are depressed, people who, if you ask them, can I pray for you? They'll sit down next to you and they'll bare their souls. And you have the opportunity to simply share your story, the opportunity within your circles of influence to share Jesus Christ, to say, you know, I can't promise you physical healing, but I can promise you this, that there's a place where you can find love, acceptance, and forgiveness, where your sins are forgiven, you can be liberated from your past. You can enjoy fellowship with people who are of like mind. Come with me to Jesus, and come to church with me. And there we'll share a burrito, and we'll tell stories, and we'll talk about the love of Jesus. And we'll remind you every day for as long as necessary. You are loved and accepted. You are forgiven. You are cared for. You are part of an eternal family. And you don't have to live in the misery of self-loathing that is so common in our society. And you can be healed. Let's dance for Jesus. And so I encourage you, and this is your assignment. It's twofold. When you leave, stop by the map. There's lots of stickers there. Take a smiley sticker. Think of your circle of influence. Maybe it's where you work. Maybe it's a restaurant that you go to on a regular basis. Maybe it's where you live. Take a smiley sticker. Take a couple if you want and put it on the map. Now, they're all smiley stickers. Don't put them on upside down. The world has, there's enough people who are sad. You know, we don't want to go represent the sad Jesus. And think about your circle of influence. Because God placed you in this world in order that you might help build His kingdom. In order that you might help let people dance in their spirit because they know Jesus. And invite them to church and we'll all rejoice together. We'll take a list of 100 names and we'll pray for them and we'll rejoice when one of them comes to know Jesus Christ. And there will be excitement and wonder that God has brought that person into the kingdom. And we've also encouraged you in Living Hope 101. We've encouraged you to pray for 100 people, to share Christ with someone and bring them to church, and to give an extra $100. You know, after the first service, someone said to me, I guess I have to go get another job because I can't come up with $100. You know, if you can't come up with $100, that's okay. That's not the point. You know, the point is there's 150 of us here on a Sunday morning. If each of us just gave a little bit extra, those who are capable give a lot extra. Those who are not capable, they don't have to give any extra. Just tithe. I think you ought to tithe. I think that's a biblical concept. But be part of the vision. Be part of what God is doing in Living Hope and in Grand Junction, because I believe what's going to happen after we've all put our stickers on that map, as we keep doing over the next few weeks, as people say, hey, did you put your sticker on there? And ask one another, did you put your sticker on? I think we're going to have a visual impact. We're going to say, man, this church, little old Living Hope Church, can have an incredible impact upon Grand Junction. We can be a lighthouse in the midst of a city which is in need of Jesus Christ. Because you know the 100 people on our list are just the tip of the iceberg. These people need compassion. They need forgiveness. They need a Savior. So, look at your circle of influence. Use an opportunity to share your story, to share John 3:16 and 17, the love of God, the lack of condemning. You know, it's interesting. You go places, and nowadays it's a big thing for people to have a lot of ink. I've actually got some ink. I haven't shown too many of you. It's all contained right in here. There's an interesting thing that happens a lot of times. We see somebody who's got a bunch of ink and we avoid eye contact, as though the decision to get tattooed is somehow a decision to hate God or to be less deserving of the gospel message. But it's not. Having ink is not a sign of sin. And a lot of things that we look down our noses at are the very things that God wants to forgive, that God wants to us to overcome. That's why John 3:17 is so important. He didn't come to the world to condemn. We do enough condemnation. Let's embrace people with the love of Jesus. Take your circle of influence. Share Christ with someone. Invite them to church. And then, let's have a party. Let's get excited, because God is at work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to dance for joy when you bring people into your kingdom. Amen.